Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. The Trump administration estimates there are more than 500 children between the ages of 5 and 17 separated from their parents at the U.S.-Mexico border who remain in U.S. custody. In many of these cases, parents have already been deported back to their home countries. This morning, reporting from Honduras, WBUR's Shannon Dooling introduces us to two of these families waiting there for the return of their children and depending on the help of a complete stranger who lives thousands of miles away.
The Galvez family is sitting down to breakfast, wearing their Sunday best, looking out at the Caribbean Sea. To get where they are, in the coastal city of La Ceiba, took a four-hour bus ride and $40. They had to borrow the money from a friend. It's basically 6 months' worth of income. Jose Hector Galvez says he's barely able to keep his family fed, let alone repair the leaky, thatched roof of their home. In fact, it was the prospect of fixing the roof that led to their family being separated.
I left because work is impossible to find here. I left so I can help and support my family. That was the motivation for my trip. I never expected this to happen.
In May, Galvez and his 16-year-old daughter, Kenya, left for the U.S. The plan was to try and find work for a year or so, save some money, and return to Honduras to repair his home, where his wife and their two other children had stayed behind. After traveling by bus to the U.S.-Mexico border, Galvez explained to U.S. immigration officials that he and his daughter wanted work. He was told he would be deported immediately, and that his daughter would follow in a week or so. He says both he and his daughter were told to take off their belts and their shoelaces. He was placed in a holding cell with other men, while Kenya was kept with women and children.
What I was told is that I had to go to immigration court, and they said, Kenya's over there, and you can go talk to her. And I said, okay, I'll go explain to her that I have to go to court, but when I come back from court, she'll still be here, I can see her again. And they said, yes, you can. But that's not what happened. When I came back, she wasn't there, and I didn't know where she went.
At this point in her husband's story, Rosalina Linder, Kenya's mother, reaches for a washcloth she's brought with her and wipes her eyes. She says they feel hopeless. She's gotten no help from her own government, no help from the U.S. government.
Sí, no ha sido fácil. Pues yo como madre, pues me he sentido muy sola, muy triste.
As a mother, you feel this intensely. She says she feels physical pain, especially when she speaks to her daughter. She puts her hand on her heart. I feel it here, right here, she says. I worry intensely about her and I pray to God to bring her back safely to me. And she left with her father so that they could work, just so they can fix our little house.
Me pega ese dolor. Porque yo me preocupo por ella.
And then a few weeks ago, Linder got a phone call from a friend. The friend had seen a news story on television. A phone number flashed on the screen with a message that said, if you have children in U.S. immigration, call this number. And so I called and I said, please send me my daughter. She's the only daughter I have and she needs to be returned to me. It was Isabel Lopez, an immigrant advocate in Boston, who answered that phone call.
Bueno, estamos en contacto, ¿yo? Gracias, Diana.
Okay. It's so difficult to talk to this family.
Isabel Lopez puts her cell phone down on the table. She's sitting in a noisy Dunkin' Donuts in downtown Boston. Lopez is from Honduras, and her family still lives there. They told her no one in Honduras was talking about these parents trying to find their children.
And so one day I decided to call the TV station to let people know that, you know, that they can call me.
And whose number was given?
My number.
Lopez says she's spoken with nearly 70 families since she shared her cell phone number on Honduran television back in late July. Since then, she's created a database of names and numbers, families who are looking for their children. She's connecting some of these families with legal experts and buying international calling cards so they can try and track down their children. That's how the Galvezes wound up in La Ceiba, where they met with Boston-based immigration attorneys.
And it's painful, too. I cannot imagine having my kid being taken away from me and, like, putting my hope in strangers over the phone. With the language barrier, with the communication, and the kids calling them and saying, I don't want to be here. Every day, how can you leave? How can you eat? How can you stay stable?
Back in Honduras, 33-year-old Carlos Alexis Hernandez Licona has been facing those questions every day for the last 3 months. He left his hometown of Olancho to look for work in the U.S. He brought with him his 6-year-old son, Carlos Gabriel. After traveling with a coyote to Mexico, he and his son shared an inner tube to cross the Rio Grande. He says they eventually walked into McAllen, Texas, and in May presented themselves to immigration officials.
I was placed in a cage. Eventually, I was moved into a bigger cage. ICE officers were near, and I confronted them, and I said, you're not going to take my son away from me.
But they did. His son ran to him. His son said to him, Dad, I want to stay with you. Don't let them take me away. But ICE did take his son away. Licona says he was there for 14 more days before he was deported back to Honduras. Licona says ICE never told him where his son was being taken or how long he would be held. He says he's still never been contacted by the U.S. government. So when he saw Isabel Lopez's phone number on television last month, he called right away. She offered him advice and helped him navigate what can be a very complicated immigration system, even for someone who speaks English. But for Licona, who only speaks Spanish and who cannot read, calling hotlines in the U.S. and finding help with paperwork can feel insurmountable. Licona eventually learned his son is being held in a facility in New York. He speaks with him once a week. He says his son mostly talks about coming home and asks how much longer he has to wait. Licona tells him he'll be home soon.
Diana, Cristina. Entonces, mire, Diana, no, lo que pasa es que...
In Boston, Lopez is still answering phone calls from mothers and fathers who are looking for their children and putting their hope in a stranger. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Shannon Dooling in El Salvador.
For daily dispatches from Shannon in Central America and for photos from WBUR's Jesse Costa, go to our website, WBUR.org. Jesse's photos are of the Massachusetts delegation, but also of daily life on the streets of Honduras. To find them, plug the word Honduras into our website search engine.